don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
I want it. Can't stop, won't stop. Yes,
Carnell.
Love it. Don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
Yes, Dad.
What, cut off that damn TV show watching that ignorant ass shit? Got you messing up your homework, damn mixture show niggas. Making black folks look like damn fools. Talking about I love it. If it was your damn timetables, would you love that? How about loving some long division, nigga? Can't stop, won't stop bringing these damn L's home on your fucking report card. And somebody get the damn phone. Damn, I pay the bills. Can somebody at least answer the phone?
Then I got it. Hello? It's for you.
Hello?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 15 of the report. Now, of course, as always, before we get started, this show does have an explicit label on it for the overabundance of curse words and subject matter. So get them bad little fuckers out the room while listening to this verbal debauchery, alright? Yeah, man, but we got a lot of shit to talk about today. Apparently, there's a bunch of homosexual dudes luring it up to join female sororities. We'll talk about that shit. And y'all know I gotta talk about that Chris Brown and Drake beef, right? We'll go into the details with that. And we're going to talk about some divorce equality. Something caught my attention with basketball wife Kenya Bell and her soon-to-be ex-husband Charlie Bell. So we'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about the ratchetness that is Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. My birthday just passed a little while ago too, so I'll tell y'all how that shit went down. And some other random stuff that's just been on my mind as of late. And I got some listener feedback to get to too, so I'll be responding to those right here on the show as well. And of course, the hip-hop and R&B that you've all come to expect. So let's get right into it, fam. Real talk, all the time, here on the Span Report Podcast.
So I sip my Remy. That's when I first got tunnel vision. Yeah, I saw it clearly. Sunshine never shine like this. When I was sober off in the yo, I never rhyme like this. I think I'm tripping. No, I'm high. No, I'm broke. Well, all I know is that my world is super slow. I like this better. Light as a feather. Too fly to land. Too throw to drive in this weather. I'm hydroplane.
It's been a long time since I felt this way. Since I felt this way. It's been a long time since I felt this way. Since I felt this way. It's been a long time since I felt this way. Since I felt this way.
It's been a long time since I felt this way.
Mix the drink with the tank. Got me.
It's getting hard to explain the way I feel when I'm zoned. High as fuck. Money stuck, so don't call my phone. See, I was young when I was tipping, but I wasn't tripping no. Perfect combination of elevation. Had me tipping slow, fall asleep while we ride. Cloud surf to my house. I never knew the strength of the drink until I melt away in my couch. And dream about the things I never had, all the places I couldn't go. Try to play it cool around my phone, but I'm fucked up on the low. Eyes bloodshot red, can't get to my bed. Couple lean in my stomach, ounce of smoke in my head. I ain't been this way in a while. It's cool, I need to relieve the stress. Wrote the words of this life and blew it out of my chest.
It's been a long time since I felt this way. It's been a long time since I felt this way. It's been a long time since I felt this way. It's been a long time since I felt this way. Mix the drink with the tank. Got me.
Trying to hold hold on. But I'm steady getting higher as the sweet meets the fire again. Round 10, toe to toe with the green. See me, I'm bobbing and weaving, but he's choking me and cheating, man. Trying to train my lungs to hang, cause I'm gonna be smoking till kingdom comes. Sing the songs it shows to make people roll up the mota and feel good like they supposed to. Wanna stay grounded, but somehow gravity pulls me up. Am I upside down? And what the fuck is going on, man? Hydroplane, and as I'm going up, not going insane, but out of control, feel like it's out of my hands. Let me grab a hold before I crash land. Because it's like I'm going crazy. Hydroplaning.
There is an odd new trend playing out on the campus of Tennessee State University. Instead of pledging fraternities, men are forming underground sororities. And the women who consider their sisterhood sacred are not amused. Channel 4's Darian Trotter is live at TSU with this unusual story.
And Dimitri, it certainly has been a talker this week on campus, and here's why. At least one student has been suspended from his job on campus. Another student has stopped going to class, and it's all because a group of men decided to pledge pink and green. Welcome to an underground world, a dark side of Greek life. One so taboo, members of the sororities imitated would rather act as if their imposters don't exist.
It's been men deltas and men AKAs and men zetas for a while.
That's right, men who pledge sororities. They often go through the same sacred rituals as their female counterparts and wear the same Greek colors and paraphernalia.
To me, it's like a violation.
Amy Gardner is a member of Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated. She thinks men prancing around posing as sorority sisters is an outrage.
Because a sorority is for women and a fraternity is for men.
But male sororities are real and have been for years.
All right, no problem.
The topic was the focus of Tennessee State University's radio talk show last week. According to the station's program director, a local student was outed as a miaka, which stands for men interested in AKAs.
He brought it upon himself.
The student was reportedly so embarrassed by having his secret life exposed, he stopped going to class and has threatened a defamation lawsuit. We talked to a TSU student about male sorors.
I don't think they should be called sorcerers or being AKA. They should find a male fraternity to be in.
And again, that student radio DJ has been suspended indefinitely, but there is talk on campus that more male sorority members will be outed in another format in the days ahead. And Demetria, just in case you're wondering, we understand that at least some men who join sororities are doing so because at one time or another they were rejected from traditional male fraternities. We are live on TSU's campus. Darian Trotter, Channel 4 News.
Interesting. TSU is not commenting about what officials there are describing as a student issue, but the university says it is investigating.
All right, man, really, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, I was bugging when I first heard this story because, hell, that's my alma mater. I went to TSU. And if that type of thing was going on while I was there, they sure as hell kept it on the hush-hush on like a national security type level because nobody heard, really, I had never heard of this shit. Funny thing is, when I first heard about this whole Miaka controversy, it had nothing to do with Tennessee State University. There was a lawsuit filed by a group of these dudes alleging gender discrimination at Texas Southern University and Prairie View A&M, the AKA chapters there. And in looking for more information about this story, I came across that news clip. Now, the shit was more widespread than anybody probably even thought about. Now, first things first, I get that some of these dudes are a bit effeminate, and I get that they are attracted to other dudes and all that. I mean, hell, they probably refer to each other as bitch, as some women tend to do amongst themselves. Hell, some of these dudes may even identify themselves as being a female trapped in a man's body. But as a man, you know motherfucking well you don't get to join no goddamn sorority. These motherfuckers are violating all sorts of man laws, and it ain't even about them being gay. I mean, I'm trying to figure this shit out. What was going on in these dudes' heads to make them feel like this shit shouldn't be laughed out of fucking court? Now, what needs to be understood is this. Fraternities and sororities are private organizations with selected membership. So chances are, if you aren't what they're looking for, you won't be accepted as a member. That's some shit that should be understood right from the gate. Fraternities and sororities are not bound by EEOC or any other equal opportunity mandates. They pick who they want and who they don't want. Well, shit, you gotta find something else to do. Now, if you go to Webster's Dictionary and you look up the meaning of sorority, here's what it says. Club of Women, specifically, a women's student organization formed chiefly for social purposes and having a name consisting of Greek letters. The fact that you silly motherfuckers was born with twig and berries automatically excludes you from this group. You're in college, you should at least know that. Secondly, it was brought up in the story that a lot of these men were not accepted into other male fraternities. But it never dawned on these dudes to start their own fraternity? You actually wanted to start your own chapters of a sisterhood using the name and colors of another organization and then have the audacity to sue the original organization because you didn't fit the prerequisite of being a woman for membership? The fuck are you dudes thinking, man? The fact that you call yourselves Miakas, men interested in AKA, seems to suggest that you already know you don't fit the prerequisites for membership. Hell, not only that, it almost sounds like dudes that want to get at some AKAs, not join their group. But it's silly shit like this that actually do make it harder for homosexuals when they do have legitimate concerns about equal rights and how they're treated. Some of them are fighting for adoption rights for children, health benefits for their partners, and the ability to be who they are without having to hide it. While you silly motherfuckers are out here trying to join women's groups and get mad because you ain't a woman and they don't want you. This shit right here is some straight up tomfoolery in the utmost. Now the dude that they mentioned in the story, if in fact he was suspended from school simply because of his alleged involvement in this group, that's some bogus shit. He shouldn't be denied his education based on his affiliation with a social group that, you know, they hadn't committed any crime. So he shouldn't be put out of school because of that. But that damn lawsuit, that shit is for the birds, man. Now, one thing about this story coming to the forefront is that you dudes can finally see that it's a bunch of y'all on a national level who can come together and form your own organization. But to rip off the heritage, the style, and the concept of one organization and then have the, you know, have to be so underground makes it absolutely, it just makes no sense, man. And if you really have to sue these organizations for membership, what do you think your treatment is going to be, you know, when they're forced to let you join? Form your own, you know, your own fraternities, man. Hell, you can still rock purple and pinks and yellows and all that. Nobody's stopping you. But this is some dumb shit right here, man. Real talk. But while I'm speaking on this whole concept of equal opportunity, I was wondering about how important your credit has become here in America. So much of what, you know, the employers do now, they're starting to look at your credit report as part of the screening process when looking to hire potential employees. And it got me thinking, for someone who has fucked up credit, could the fact that they don't have a job and the jobs that they are otherwise qualified for won't hire them because of their credit kind of put them in a lose-lose situation? I mean, if I can't get a job, then I can't pay my bills. And if I can't pay my bills, then my credit is going to take some hits. And the cycle of poverty continues. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some jobs where it is absolutely imperative that you check to see what their financial situation is like. Say, for instance, a bank teller or something. You know, you don't want the chick that's got she's 3 months behind in her rent. Her car is on the verge of being repossessed and bootleg cable sitting at the drawer with all that money in front of her. Too much of a risk, you know, that she might take something. The temptation for that type of shit is just too strong. But there are a lot of other jobs out here that are requesting this credit info, and you won't be handling any monies, and you won't be handling anybody's sensitive personal information. And in some ways, I believe they would use that to not offer you a job that you would otherwise be qualified to do. And it could be a bit of discrimination in a sense. They don't have to say that they didn't hire you because you were, you know, because you were black or Latino or whatever. They can just say you didn't meet the credit requirement, and that's the end of it. And like I said before, the cycle of poverty continues. I don't know, but I would like to hear what you guys think about that shit. So hit me up on the hotline at area code 313-288-0485, or drop me an email or something and let me know what you think about this. Or, you know, at one time you might have been affected by it. But we're coming up on the next musical break. When I return, we're going to talk about Kenya Bell and not wanting to pay her husband alimony, Chris Brown and Drake scuffle, and plenty more shows. So stick around. Thank you.
that will keep me from leaving. Be a man, not a boy, running from the truth. You're always
late at night.
You never come home.
Play enough of these sisters, man, getting down here on the show, bruh. But I gotta start mixing that shit up a bit. That was Let Us See Within the Morning off of her 2007 album Lost and Found, so you know what to go do. Yeah, man. But let me get back to this next topic, though. Now, I know most of y'all who listen to me probably watches the basketball hoes as much as I do. And while I was at work on my lunch break, you know, I'm sitting in my truck, and Kenya Bell from the show was filling in for one of the DJs here in the, on the radio here in Detroit. And the topic came up about her breakup from her husband, Charlie Bell. Apparently, Charlie is asking for spousal support from Kenya because he now makes, he believes that she now makes more money than he does. He's not in the NBA anymore. He plays ball overseas and says he makes about $100,000 a year. And I think he said he believes Kenya makes somewhere around $300,000 a year by being a cast member of the basketball host. So the question that was being presented was whether or not she should have, you know, she should have to pay Charlie Bell any alimony after they divorced. Now, I'm not gonna lie. I can't say that I was shocked to hear that the women, you know, all these women calling in on the show saying ain't no way in hell she should have to give him any money. You know, they talked about how much money he supposedly, you know, he squandered, you know, why she should have to pay him anything given the fact that they aren't together anymore. And the one thing that kept being said was, he's a man. What kind of man needs any alimony from his wife? And I always find these types of discussions interesting, you know, especially considering the fact that a lot of these women probably applauded Juanita Jordan when she got $175 million from Michael Jordan in their divorce. Never mind the fact that she didn't score a basket or she ain't had no endorsement deals. She got broke off with half his shit though. Elin Woods got broke off with $110 million after her breakup with Tiger Woods. Never once did she shoot 9 under par at Augusta or lead the U.S. Ryder Cup team to a victory. There are stories all over the place of women getting astronomical divorce settlements when they didn't exactly help that man obtain those riches. Hell, Kobe Bryant is another example of that. This fool got caught up not once but twice cheating on his woman. You would have thought that the first time he got caught with, in the $4 million he spent on that ring would have taught a simple ass lesson, but I digress. I just find it funny that in this time where everyone says they want things to be equal, how we pick and choose when we want that equality. And it's also funny to me how, now that some women are making more money, that they still want to stick to more traditional roles when it comes to divorce. Now, the women that I made mention of before, they may have very well had to deal with a lot of bullshit being married to these dudes. I mean, the cheating, the time away from home, and all of that. But does that really mean that you should be entitled to half of that man's earnings, that of which you didn't exactly help generate? Now, in the case of Kenya and Charlie Bell, I mean, for one, let's be honest. Unless you are like a big Michigan State Spartan fan, most motherfuckers don't even know who the hell Charlie Bell is. Be that as it may, Kenya has offhandedly reaped some of the rewards of his career. The fact that she's a cast member on a hit show such as The Basketball Hoes is a direct result of that, especially with her relationship with him. And as is the case with all of the other women on their show that, are on there because of their tenuous or in some cases even fucking non-existent connection to a basketball player. The fact that some of the women who called into that radio show and questioned his manhood simply because he was executing some of his legal options sound almost as dumb as that Nia chick who got mad that Jennifer hit her ass with a lawsuit after she slapped her. They talked about his squandering of money, never even considering that Kenya being his wife could have very well been complicit in the squandering of that money. Ain't nothing like spending money your ass ain't earned, you feel me? I just feel like this. Ladies, if you want to be seen as equals with men, and if you want the same respect, the same pay, the same opportunities that, being a man affords, then you must also be prepared to take on the back end of that as well. Now, if you're making more money than him and he needs spousal support to get back on his feet, then be just as prepared to pay it as you would be in receiving it. Don't cherry pick on equality. Go full Monty on that motherfucker, Well, we're coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, I still got Chris Brown and Drake's goofy asses to talk about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, my birthday weekend, and plenty more. So stick around.
When you wake up in the morning, I want you to go to the mirror and I want you to look yourself in the eyes and say, fuck you. Fuck your hopes, fuck your dreams, fuck all the good you thought this life was gonna bring you. Now let's go out here and try to make this bitch happy. New tickle-o. Up early with the sun and the stars, 6 a.m. ring the alarm. Weatherman say it's 90 today, but it's gonna feel like 100 tomorrow. So throw some fresh water under the arms. Bullshit soon as I come in the job. Boss hit me with the news like a box cutter under the jaw. Said they just had a meeting at about 300. Oh, y'all are getting fired cause we've been defunded. Can't say I didn't even see it coming. I always knew that one day they'd find a way to throw me to the wolves. And once they came into my room on that Friday afternoon, I was thinking, why y'all faggot ass niggas couldn't find me on Monday? I know it's not sane, but yo, I'm just saying. Everybody prays for the day they see the light, but the light at the end of the tunnel is a train. $5 gas and poverty rates are rising much higher than your hourly rate. So if you're thinking about quitting, you should probably wait, cause everybody gotta do a fucking job that they hate. Go and live out your dreams, that's what they telling. Fam in my ear all day and they yelling, keep it real, Tay, and don't ever sell out. But how the fuck you sell out when ain't nobody selling? Tired of playing with y'all. I wanna fight the good fight, but it ain't paying me, dog. NC, VA, to my man still hustling hard, trying to get it at whatever the cost, wherever you're at or whoever you are. That's me. All day, it's like chasing a high.
You just wanna get a hit, just wanna get a taste, just wanna benefit. Every day you wake up, there's the legitimate struggle between doing what's right or just doing some nigga shit. Baby bro wrote me, say it feel like he lost me. I'm like, dude, I'm trying, back the fuck up off me. My single friends say, tell your family's beautiful. I'm like, if y'all niggas only knew what it cost me. This shit don't come with no blueprints, and with every change it seems more like a game you can never win. I tell my peoples I ain't rich, but this harvest is the farthest from broke a nigga ever been. Go for your dreams, that's what they telling. Fam in my ear all day and they yelling. Keep it real, saying don't ever sell out. But what the fuck is selling out if ain't nobody selling? Shit. Tired of playing with y'all. I'm trying to fight the good fight, but they ain't paying me, dog. NC. VA. To my man still hustling hard. Where you at or whoever you are. Cornstar pennies out of the jar all day, nigga. Y'all remember that shit, though?
Yeah, man. That was Fonte with the good fight off of his Charity Starts at Home album, so you know what to do. Yeah, man. But anyways, I know y'all all have heard about this fight between Chris Brown and Drake by now. But what I bet y'all didn't know was your man Span was there. Yep, I seen the whole thing. And I'm gonna tell y'all exactly what happened. Now, all of this was happening around the time of my birthday and stuff, so since I'm making a little bit more money on the job, I feel like doing some baller shit, you know. So me and a few of the homies, we chartered out a Southwest Airlines flight out to New York the night before. And when we get to the hotel, we ask the doorman at the Red Roof Inn to tell us what was the hottest spot in the city. And he's telling us, you know, we got to check out the WIP spot out in South Village. So he's telling us about all these badass women out of there on the regular, and a few celebrities come through there from time to time, too. So we like, cool, we definitely got to check that out before we leave New York. Now, of course, your man Span ain't no groupie-like nigga. You know, I ain't all impressed with celebrities and whatnot, but if them niggas be in there, gonna mean there's gonna be some more badass women there that are into that type of shit, I could tolerate it. So the next night, we roll up there, you know, me and the homies. We in New York celebrate my birthday about a week before I actually did turn 32. And everything was good, too. And your man Span was shit sharp, man. I mean, I was there in all white, got this cold ass white fedora on and shit. One chick told me I looked like Nate Dogg and everything, and I didn't see it, but I was like, shit, she fine, so I'm gonna just roll with it. Now, a lot of them chicks was asking me if I was married because I wear a band on my left finger and shit. And it's not a wedding band, it's actually a Masonic ring, but I played it cool though. You know, if they were ugly, I told them I was happily married and had been for the last 5 years. But if they were fine as hell, told him that my wife died in a tragic boating accident. But we were there, we having fun, and we knocking them drinks back, man, just knocking them back, just knocking everything out, acting like complete fools, pouring Belvedere on bitches. We didn't give a fuck, man. It was wild, right? Now, of course, all of this is going on before any of these celebrity niggas showed up. Shit dried up quick, though, when word got around that they was coming through the club. Now, by this time, I still got chicks lingering around, and my boys not so much, but, you know, anyway. Drake shows up first, and I thought I was bugging out, and I might have been with all the Washington apples I was drinking, but I could have swore I saw that nigga walk in with a cardigan sweater, some skinny jeans, and some yellow glow-in-the-dark Air Yeezys. And I'm thinking to myself, every time you want to believe this nigga might have an ounce of cool in him, he does this shit. But the chicks don't care. You know, they swarm in his booth like the strippers on the Players Club when Luke showed up. And slowly but surely, even the chicks that was with us made they thirsty asses over there that way too. But I wasn't tripping. I was already drunk as hell. And I was like the stumbling nigga type drunk too. So I'm just sitting there taking it all in. My boys is getting restless though. And they ready to go because all the chicks done left them. But I'm like, fuck that. You know how much money we just spent in here tonight? I ain't leaving till this bitch shut down. And just as I'm saying that, that nigga Chris Brown comes moonwalking his ass up in there. Now you have to understand, Drake's booth is right across from mine to the left, and Chris's booth is right next to mine on the right. So I got a great view of why the fight, you know, initially happened. Now, when Chris Brown rolled in, a lot of the chicks that was fucking with my regular ass had left me to go fuck with Drake. And then when Chris Brown came in, they got set up, you know, and they got his booth set up and everything. A lot of the chicks that left me to go fuck with Drake went to go fuck with Chris Brown. And I'm sitting there watching this shit, and Drake is starting to look a little pitiful. So one of Chris Brown's bodyguards leans over and tells Chris that Drake been giving him the mean mug all night, just straight boo-boo face. And Chris gets this, you know, gets the waitress's attention and buys this big-ass bottle of champagne and writes a note and sends it over to Drake's table. Then all of a sudden, Drake stood up and said this. And when he did that shit, everybody got quiet as hell. It was like the air had been sucked out of the room and shit. Well, everybody except for Tony Parker's ass. I mean, he was still over in the booth trying to run some game on his young chick.
My great bundle of sweet mace. It is love, love, love at sight first. No? Is it not? No, yes? Oh, the mad rush of hot blood to the temples. Ah, golden girl, you are the corned beef to me. I am the cabbage to you.
Yeah, man, he was laying that shit on thick. Now, I don't know if it's just me, but I thought Chris just might let that shit slide for a second. I mean, for one, Drake does come off quite simpish, and I don't think anybody really believed that he was, or, you know, at any point in time was banging Rihanna. But what disappointed me even more was to see Chris Brown's reaction.
Bitch, who the hell you think you're talking to, hoe? I ain't want your little mama, hoe. I ain't your mama, you don't talk to me like that, hoe. I'll whoop a bitch's ass.
Couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. Chris was up in that motherfucker sounding like somebody had his nuts trapped in a pair of vice grips or some shit. It's like when Drake mentioned Rihanna, Chris just lost everything, including the bass in his voice. But not only that, I was tripping out even more that while all of this shit was going on, Chris was in his damn phone just typing away. And I'm thinking, nigga, is this how you start a fight? I didn't find out till later that this nigga was like live tweeting his own damn fight and shit. So at first, it really wasn't a whole lot going on, just a lot of shit talking between two bitch ass niggas and they bodyguards doing a lot of posturing and shit. Then all of a sudden, a bottle came out from out of Drake's booth. Now, I didn't actually see him throw the shit. Could have been anybody. All I know is when the shit was going down, one of my homies was just coming out of the bathroom and said Drake had rushed in there all nervous and shit and offered to autograph his shirt if he didn't tell nobody he was in there. But after the bottle hit that nigga Chris's bodyguard and fucked the shit all up, it was on and cracking in there then. Niggas was sucker punching each other and chicks was taking off their shoes and earrings trying to run out. Weave and shit was rolling on the ground like tumbleweeds. It was crazy. And y'all know what I was doing the whole time this shit was going down? Sitting back, having me another drink and laughing my motherfucking ass off. Man, my boys is trying to get me to leave, but again, I'm drunk, I'm belligerent, I'm telling them I ain't leaving this bitch until they shut this motherfucker down. And amazingly, with all that shit going on around me, I ain't get hit with anything. Nobody got thrown by my table. Although I did see a couple chicks' titties pop out, though. I was the calmest nigga in the room. Maybe living around all this chaos here in Detroit has me immune to panic in those type of situations. But anyway, by the time the shit was over with, it was glass and liquor all over the floor. The floor was all sticky and shit. Weave was stuck to the floor to the point it looked like cheap carpeting. And the police finally kicked my drunk ass out. Now, it didn't hit me what I had just witnessed until I got back to my suite back at the Red Roof Inn when I saw the shit all over the news and all over the blogs the next day. And I'm thinking about all that lawsuit money your man Spam missed out on. Maybe I could say they sprained my eyes with the way the light was reflecting off of the bottle that Drake supposedly threw. I don't know. But what I do know is one of my boys violated
Spam's man law.
In Chapter 15, Paragraph 4 in the Span Book of Manliness, it states, "No man is to solicit or accept any autographs from any male celebrity in the bathroom. Any man caught in violation of this law is subject to 5 swift kicks in the ass by all of the men he calls friends." This has been your Span Man Law Update.
Span's Man Law!
Yeah, man. We didn't think he would actually let Drake sign his collar, but he did that shit. But yeah, man, that's what happened in the club between Drake and Chris Brown. I saw it with my own two eyes. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's downright ratchetness. But while I'm talking about ratchetness, we all have been blessed by the programming gods over at VH1 with Chicks Fucking Rap Dudes Atlanta. And this shit is downright nuts. Most of these chicks, just like the chicks on the original Love and Hip Hop, I ain't never heard of most of these women.
But that's not the issue. The issue was how transparent the drama is between all of these women that I just can't get with. Like this whole thing with that Jocelyn chick that people are calling a man, Stevie J and his girlfriend Mimi. And I don't know. Is it me or does that Stevie J dude have like one of the most animated facial expressions this side of Jim Carrey and that dude that sings that Ratchet Girl song? That's a funny looking dude, man. But anyway, this shit just seems downright phony to me. I mean, what are the odds? You're on a show as a cast member with another chick who is also a cast member of the show, and y'all want us to believe that you didn't know that either of you would be at this birthday party of another cast member, and this is the first time that y'all has seen each other in 15 years. Then to make matters even more unbelievable, you going on and on and on about some other chick whom you just really just met, and how she's so real, and then you feel the need to tell everybody who's this chick's man supposedly, you know, who she's supposedly dating. Only to act as if you didn't know that he's actually in a relationship and shares a child with your quote-unquote friend whom you supposedly haven't seen in 15 years. Yeah, okay. And let's not even talk about that bullshit fight outside. Then I'm watching the second episode of this shit, and then they following this Jocelyn chick to the bathroom while she's taking the pregnancy test, and I'm looking at the quality of the shots they're getting, man. Like, that shit was a fucking amazing, man. I mean, we all know she signed a contract to be on the show, but does that really mean that they get to be in the bathroom with you while you taking a piss? And then to make the shit look as glamorous as they did, I mean, the cinematography of that scene was just fucking amazing. Now, needless to say, this is just something to hold our attention and give us something to talk about, which is fine, but please don't pass this shit off as a reality show when it's so easy to see that the vast majority of this shit is completely made up. I mean, as trifling as the basketball whole show is, at least the beats between them women did come across as believable. But make no mistake, this fake shit ain't gonna stop me from watching it, though. I mean, this shit is like the hip-hop version of Young and the Restless, and that used to be my shit back in the day. I'll be coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, I got my birthday weekend to talk about, I got some listener feedback to respond to, and I'm gonna close out the show, so stick around.
Hi, this is Rod and
Karen
of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, and we like to listen to the Spam Report podcast.
Because it's about pop culture, music, and random thoughts.
Yeah, and it's also a reality show to boot with that. Because he might be in prison, or he might not. You just have to keep listening to find out.
Yes.
Now, let's go back to the Spam Report.
Everything I do for you is a joy and a gift you got.
Yeah, man. I'm in love with this woman right here. That was Jill Scott with Whatever off of a 2004 album, Beautifully Human. So you know what to go do. Yeah, man. I actually got a chance to see Jill Scott in concert here in Detroit on Father's Day, which was actually a day before my birthday. So this is sort of like a present to myself and shit. Now, the only thing I regretted, though, was not buying my tickets a hell of a lot earlier, man, because even though I could see her, hell, I wasn't close enough to get any decent pictures of that sister's womanly softness, man. Yeah, man. But she did put on a damn good show. And there really wasn't any other acts at the concert with her outside of DJ Jazzy Jeff. He was doing his things on the ones and twos to get the show started. But, of course, we all know that Jill can blow. And if I was close enough, I would have thrown my boxes up on the stage. Which wouldn't have been nearly as bad as this chick that was giving her dude a lap dance right in the front row, right in front of Jill. The shit kind of distracted her ass for a minute. But really, the concert was just like a grand finale for me in celebrating my birthday. You know, I was off from work for 4 days. I got to know this really nice young lady in the biblical sense.
That was the best fucking I ever had.
Yeah, that's because you've been dealing with the ace.
Yeah, man, my birthday was all good. Got a lot of rest, which, you know, my body sorely needed too. And shout out to everybody that reached out to me on Facebook and Twitter to wish me a happy birthday, man. You know, y'all made a nigga feel all warm and fuzzy and shit. Yeah, man, I had a good time, though. But with the 4 days I had off from work, you know, it gave me a chance to do some reflecting. You know, just think about where I came from and how I grew up and just how lucky I am to be in the position that I'm in right now. I mean, hell, just 6.5 years ago, your man Spam was unemployed, on the verge of being evicted from my place. I didn't have a car. My daughter's mother and I were breaking up. And because the gas in my place was shut off, I'm microwaving water just to have warm water to wash my ass with. You know, I was down on my knuckles, man. And as I'm sitting here thinking about some of that shit, you know, it just makes me think of some of the decisions that I made that I'm not particularly proud of, but that I had to do in order for me to be where I'm at today. You know, and thankfully, I think I made more good decisions than bad. And I had some really good support from my Aunt Lena and my cousin Kiva, man. You know, I'm eternally grateful for these two women. But that whole situation just kind of broke me down, only for me to be built back up. You know, it just get my focus right and put my energies where they needed to be. Now, trust and believe, I did a lot of bitching and moaning along the way. And, of course, I had a couple setbacks. Like the time when I was a telemarketer and I had the unfortunate opportunity to talk to an asshole on the phone. And, of course, I cussed his bitch ass out. I mean, shit, I could only fake being nice for so long. But even more recently, you know, I lost my grandfather. You know, the first man I ever heard anybody ever refer to as Mr. Span. You know, he died this past January, and I was a bit ashamed at how I had let my anger at him for some things that had happened right after the death of my mother. How I held on to that with him to the point that I hadn't really talked to him for nearly 14 years. And I never got a chance to tell him I wasn't mad anymore and that I loved him. I even thought about the fact that my younger brother, you know, he's been in prison for the last 7 years, and I have yet to make a visit. Not one. Sure, I can send money and a couple pictures a month, but it's not the same. And I know he's hurt by it when I read some of the letters that he sends to me. That's not something that I'm particularly proud of. But as I sat on my couch on my 32nd birthday, I thought about how much I had grown as a person and as a man. And I also thought about how much more growing I have to do. I mean, I even thought about my own mortality as I thought about my mother. You know, she was only 37 years old when she passed away. And it reminded me that we all aren't promised a long life. You know, for me, just having that time to myself, just that whole day sitting and thinking helped me immensely. You know, I'm much more appreciative of where I'm at now because of where I came from and what I've experienced. You know, I got a job that I like and it pays pretty well. You know, I'm finally able to move to the burbs. And not only that, I get to do this podcast and just basically talk to y'all about random shit. And you actually want to hear what my crazy ass has to say. So even doing this podcast is a bit therapeutic. You know, not as therapeutic as a full body rub down, but since there's no nice little Asian lady sitting around here to walk on my back, this shit'll just have to do. We'll be coming up on the next musical break, but when I return, we'll do the listener feedback that I'll respond to, and then we're gonna wrap up the show. So stick around.
Oh, I believe the fire burns. We stay alive. They will talk about us.
thoughts of a believer, achiever, leader of the globe. Feed the souls of those in need. I bleed the blood of the struggle, walking over troubled puddles. Hustles in my chest, no hustle, no progress. Extremities of life in this process. Birth of a son, death of another. With love I caress both mothers and told them who's in control is the one that's above us. I walk where money talks and love stutters. Body language of a nation going through changes. The young become dangerous. Pain gets spent in the anger. Anger gets sent through the chamber. It's tough when your own look like strangers. We are the sons of gangsters and stone rangers. If you could, how would Ernie Barnes paint us? Look at the picture, hard not to blame us. But time forgives in the shy where the young die often. Do they end up in a coffin because we haven't talked them? Is it what we talking? We really ain't walking. Dudes, hustlers, pay. How much did it cost them? Find myself on the same corner that we lost them. Real talking in their ear like a Walkman. Thoughts been around the corner to the world. When I see them, I see my baby girl. Believe,
believe. I believe in the light that shines and will never die.
Oh, believe, I believe, believe.
The fire. Stay alive. They will talk about us like they talked about the kings before us.
Yeah, the Lord lives among us. The youngest hunger becomes a means to get it by any ways necessary under pressure. Children feeling lesser with the steel up under dresser. Killing will aggressors, destiny's children, survivors, soldiers in front of buildings. They eyes look older, hard to see blessings in a violent culture. Face against weapons, sirens, holsters. That ain't the way that Langston Hughes wrote us. Soul controllers on the shoulders of Moses and Noah. We go from being precious to Oprah, cultivated to overcome. Ever since we came overseas today, in the way that you can see that we determined. Solar keeps burning, shorties know to keep learning. Lessons in our life, but like stripes that we earning. Took Gramps' advice, that crisis we turning. Like a thief in the night, I write the beacons of light. For those of us in dark alleys and parched valleys, street hits spark rallies of the conscience. Conquer us of a contest that seems beyond us. Even through the unseen, I know that God watches. From one king's dream, he was able to barack us. The prophets, nothing can stop us.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh,
believe,
I believe
in
the fire burns, we stay alive. They will talk about us like they talked about. They will talk about us. I know our dreams won't turn to dust. They will talk about us. I know our
dreams
won't turn to dust.
Yeah, man. Don't you feel all inspired and shit? That was Common featuring John Legend with Believer off of Common's last album, The Dreamer and the Believer album. So you know what to go do. Yeah, man. Now, I know it's been a while since I actually did respond to any listener feedback, and part of that was, hell, I hadn't put out any podcasts. So I get it. But I have been getting more lately, so let me shout you guys out and respond to you right here now. Let me get to these emails real quick. Now, the first email is from Orange Maestro, who writes in to say, welcome back, and glad your case was tossed. Thanks for returning. Oh, okay, that's it. Well, thanks, Maestro. You know, I'm glad that shit is over and done with, too. You know, and I thank you for continuing to listen. It's much appreciated, man. Keep spreading the word about the Spam Report and keep listening, man. Thank you. I got another email from a sister named Jessica, and Jessica writes in to say that, I just wanted to take a moment and let you know that it's kind of hypocritical that you accuse white people of still being racist. Well, okay then. All right, okay. Let me first say, Jessica, that unless you would consider me a racist, then I don't necessarily think that you can call me hypocritical in pointing out racism in some white people when I see it. And if you watch enough of my videos on YouTube, or even if you listen to this podcast for any length of time, you would know that I tend to go in on my own people for our stupidities as well. So, just as I said on my last episode, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I go in on white folks and black folks, and they are racist in both groups, and they're both stupid as shit. But, you know, thank you for taking your time to write in, Jessica, and I do hope to hear from you soon. Real talk. I got another email from a sister named Layla from the UK. And this is a rather lengthy one, so I'll just kind of paraphrase it here, because she's basically asking about Freemasonry, you know, who do Freemasons worship, how to join, and how she doesn't buy into all the Illuminati stuff surrounding the Masons. Okay, like, I've talked on this topic at length quite a few times on YouTube, so Layla, if you have any questions about this particular issue, check out my video series, The Honest Truth, Freemasonry, Hip-Hop, and Devil Worship. That's available on YouTube, or you can go to thespanreport.com and check it out there, as I've given it its own section. Also, I responded to an email similar to this one back on, I think it was episode 6 of the Span Report podcast, and I explained my involvement and addressed many of the misconceptions about Freemasonry, you know, there as well. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm blowing your question off, Layla. It's just that I get these sorts of messages all the time, especially with the likes of people like G. Craig Lewis and the Forerunner dude running around telling people all sorts of madness about the fraternity. And I get a little weary having to repeat myself all the time. So please just check out those videos and check out episode 6 of the podcast, as I've addressed many of those questions that you had before through those avenues. Thank you for the email, Layla, and I hope to hear from you again soon. I got another email from Sky Blue, and Sky writes in to say, Sir, I recently discovered you via the Black Guy Who Tips, and I dig your show, much like many of your other fans. That said, I have what you would like to say is an impertinent question for a newbie listener. How you going to tell us, and I quote, I'm in this for the long haul and then disappear for 3 months? When you plan on dropping another episode of the Spare Report anyway? Steady waiting out here in cyberspace with all of your other sad fans. P.S. I was tempted to call you via Skype to express my sadness verbally, but I decided getting cussed out late at night wasn't a good way to end my evening. All right, Sky. Well, first, let me say thank you, Sky, for taking the time to write me and let me know that you were looking for more of the show. But to get to your question, there really is no good excuse as to why I've been gone for 3 months outside of working. Sometimes life's just getting in the way. And not only that, as I stated in my last episode a couple weeks ago, there were things that I would sit down and want to talk about on the show, but by the time I would be able to use it, you know, the content was a bit dated. Nobody was talking about that shit anymore. So with a lot of the things that I talk about here on the show, I try to stay current with what's going on in the news and what, you know, currently has people's attention. And I'm still trying to get this scheduling thing down when it comes to releasing and sitting down to be able to record each new episode of the podcast. But it's still a work in progress for me. Thank you for being so patient with me. You know, not just you, but to all of you guys, man, who listen to this show, man. I try not to be gone so long in the future, though, Scott. Thanks for the email. Okay, I got one more from a brother that goes by the name of Mr. No Good. And Brother No Good writes in to say that... hello to all of you. I run a podcast called Mr. No Good at MrNoGood.com. Some of you may know me. I started my blog in 2004 and started podcasting from 05 to 07 until I got burned out. However, I'm back now and I've noticed that there's some new entries in the urban podcasting game. I still don't think that there are enough of us, but that's another discussion. Since you are receiving this email, that means that I've listened to at least one full podcast of yours and believe that you were entertaining enough for me to contact. I would like to network with each of you if it's possible. Since cross-promotion costs us nothing and does nothing but help us, I can't see why it isn't a foregone conclusion that we should have links to each other on our pages, or at the very least a name that a listener can look up in iTunes or cross-mentions on our shows. I also believe that we need to expand beyond the collective audience of urban podcasting. This is one of the reasons why my Sambo logo will be redrawn for something eye-catching yet mainstream and without portraying a preconceived notion of the race of the podcaster. So if you are interested in cross-promotion, please reply back or give me a call. Okay, he gives me a phone number. Blacks can't prosper from beef, so I have a complete respect for each of your shows and their different styles. I'm just trying to get back in where I fit in. Okay, No Good. Let me first say that I have no problem with cross-promotions of shows that I listen to and enjoy. I mean, I implore my audience all the time to check out other shows that help me get through my day, from the Haterazzi radio show, where most people were introduced to me, to the Black Guy Who Tips, to the Player Hater podcast, and the Mac Lessons radio show, and the Regular Cat radio, and Where's My 40 Acres, and a host of others. I always encourage that. Now, for you, I honestly haven't had an opportunity to listen to your show, but I'm sure if it's good, brother, I have no problem with sending folks your way and making sure that, you know, they let you know that they heard about you from me. So I'm going to have to listen to your show before I can give you that the official Span seal of approval and shit. But like I said, brother, if the show is good, I'll be sending people your way, no doubt. Thanks for the message, fam. But that's all of my messages. Now, of course, you too can reach out to me here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard as well. You can hit me up on the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485, and leave me with a voicemail there. So just tell me about what your reaction was to something I spoke about on the show, or you can just say hi. You can also reach me at by email by going to the spanpodcast@gmail.com. That's the spanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. And I'll read those messages and respond to you right here on the show as well. And I also want to thank all of you guys who've been liking on the Mr. Span fan page over on Facebook, man. That helps spread the word about the show, so it's much appreciated. Also, when you visit thespanreport.com, you can now leave comments on the show right on the website using your Facebook account. So you can leave your comments there, and I will read those also right here on the show. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter. My name there is the same as it is everywhere, as Mr. Span. That's MR_Span. So follow me there. We can chop it up from time to time. But that's it, fam. I got to get out of here. So I got to go find some more shit to talk to you guys about, so it don't be 3 months before I put out another show. But it was good talking to you guys, man. And I can't wait to do it again. Hopefully it won't be 3 months. But I can't wait to talk to you guys again and doing this all again soon. So until next time, fam. Peace.
I can make your body talk while we're making love. And what can make this conversation even spark up? It's me and you up in this room, colliding like a boom. Gonna have you speaking in tongues the way you like it. You're so loud when you're excited. Ooh, you get excited that I can't help but make you scream and call out for me. Ooh, I love it when you do. I said, baby, you should do this. She says, daddy, you the best. I said, baby, can you feel me? She says, all up in my chest. I said, baby, you've been naughty. She says, I'm under arrest. We're having sex conversation. Sex conversation. Ooh, girl, I like it. Like this, like this, like this. Sex conversation, sex conversation, sex conversation, sex conversation.
Oh, tell me where you want me to go. You don't know what I got in store, girl. Just keep calling my name. You're so loud when you're excited. Ooh, you get excited that I can't help but put it on you and show you how it's supposed to be done. Call me the champion. Oh yeah.
Push it, daddy. She says, baby, you the best. I said, baby, can you feel me? She says,
all up in my chest.
I said, baby, you've been naughty. She says, I'm under arrest.
We're having
sex. Sex conversation. Ooh, girl, I like it when you talk like this.
Make you love like this. Communicating like this.
Sex conversation.
We're having
sex conversation.
We're having
sex conversation. Sex conversation.
Even if we don't say a word.
Says you, said your mouth and your body, you.